arresting the Roman legions. Above all, and unlike many in the Police Nationale, Gégé did not treat a municipal policeman like Bruno as a lower form of life. He'd come to value Bruno's profound knowledge of the people of the commune of Saint-Denis, developed through years spent as an active member of the local tennis, rugby and hunting clubs. He accepted Bruno's idiosyncratic way of doing his job and recognised his role in ensuring that Saint-Denis had the lowest rate of reported crimes in the département of the Dordogne. Bruno, in return, respected Gégé as a relentless detective with a deceptively subtle way of navigating the politics of policing in France. Whatever the radio might be reporting, Gégé was old enough and experienced enough to take care of himself. And if he needed Bruno's help, he knew he would only have to ask. Bruno planned this morning to go first to the riding school of his British friend Pamela to exercise Hector, his horse, before heading for his office in the mairie. Perhaps on horseback he'd get some inspiration for the speech he had to give at the end of the week. And perhaps I should think about getting some new clothes, Bruno thought as he scanned his wardrobe, with the forthcoming wedding in mind. 2/3 of the hanging space was occupied by his official dress. There were police uniforms for summer and for winter, plus a full-dress parade uniform and a greatcoat. At the back of the cupboard was a separate plastic bag holding his French Army reserve uniform with its sergeant's chevrons, in which he was required to report if summoned back to duty. Hanging in the utility room where he kept his washing machine and the secure cabinet with his guns was a set of military camouflage that he used for hunting, along with the old army tracksuit he'd just taken off to air after his morning jog. Bruno's civilian clothes were few. There was a dark blue wool suit. He'd bought it when invalided out of the French army after taking a sniper's bullet in his hip during a tour of duty in Bosnia. He'd long since lost the extra kilos he'd gained during the months in hospital and while convalescing, so it hung loosely on him these days. A dark blue blazer and a pair of grey slacks shared a wooden coat hanger. Khaki chinos hung with the dark red wind cheater that he wore over his uniform shirt and trousers when he wanted to look plausibly civilian. Its equivalent in black was kept in his official van. A pair of jeans was folded on the top shelf with his polo shirts and sweaters, his police kepis, and a blue UN peacekeeper's helmet that he kept for sentimental reasons, despite its dent and scrapes. "Anyone could take one glance at my wardrobe," he mused, "and tell the story of my life, the army and then the police, all the signs of a man more at home in uniform than in civilian dress." His modest collection of clothes suggested a man who was careful with his money, seeing no need to splash out on new garments when the French services took care of most of his needs. And the dark suit was timeless, of a classic cut, paying no regard to the whims of fashion that dictated that this year trousers should be tight and ties and lapels narrow. It seemed only yesterday that trousers had been loose and ties and lapels bizarrely wide. Even for a country policeman, he knew this was a sparse wardrobe. "I'm a man," he thought, "of little imagination and less style. Or perhaps I simply have other priorities." Bruno disliked shopping for clothes, although he could spend many hours happily perusing hunting magazines for a new shotgun that he could not afford, or a new rod for when he went fishing with the Baron. A good thing about weddings, he thought, was that people usually had eyes only for the bride. Nobody would care what he was wearing, and the dark blue suit would do fine. The ceremony was to take place in the mairie, followed by a reception and dinner for close friends at the National Museum of Prehistory in Les Aisies. The gallery of flints, with its life-size models of early humans holding spears, napping flints, and wearing skins, might be considered an unusual place to choose. Bruno thought it very suitable, since bride and groom were professional archaeologists of renown. Clotilde was the museum's senior curator, and Horst, after retiring from his university post in Germany, had joined the museum as an adjunct professor responsible for archaeological digs. Most of the guests were in the same profession. Idly, Bruno wondered if they might offer the fashionable